Thank you, Bob. I've been waiting 25 years. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. But you said it best. I just sent him that one little thing, and I was just so fired up. He's going to just laugh at this one. And he had a busy day, and it was date day with his wife. And I did put it in there. I said, hey, just a reminder tonight, you read, I preach. And nothing. I thought, oh, no, I have really irritated him. But then finally, I poked the bear a little bit more, and he gave me a big smiley face. So that was good. So again, good evening. It's great to be with you here. Tonight's the Merge Church. I'm just happy everybody's here on a Wednesday night for our Wednesday night service. I'm just looking forward to now as the summer goes, Lord willing, we can all of us do a little more inviting and just get some folks that normally, the big excuse I've heard from so many people over the years is, it's Sunday morning, it's busy, you know, weekends, work all week, but they have told me years past that they would try to do, if you had a week's service during the week, I'd probably come. Well, so I should have made a list of all those people. I'm going to go back and get in front of some of them again. If you would please go next slide. This quote actually came from my business partner. He knew I was preaching on empathy, and I had invited him, and he said he couldn't come tonight, but he said, maybe you can give me a one-on-one message sometime. And I said, well, it's going to be online. And he goes, oh, okay, probably better. And so this quote came from him when he knew I was preaching on empathy. Powerful, powerful quote. One doesn't have to operate with great malice to do great harm. The absence of empathy and understanding are sufficient. Well, very powerful quote. Let's pray one more time. Lord God, please, let's just slow us down, God. Please slow us down from all the world's things that we got going during our week and our busy weeks and our lives. And God, that we would just learn tonight from you, Lord, how to embrace empathy, how to walk where people walk, sit where they sit, and understand their emotions and feelings, and just really embrace their sorrows and mourn with them when they're mourning. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Here's the setting. A hardworking stay-at-home mom has a chore list. So the husband says goodbye in the morning and goes off to work, and the wife's day begins. Punch list of things to get done. She's just getting started after he heads out the door and gets a call from the nursing home that her mother's in nursing care and there's medication issues and she needs to go check out the challenges at the nursing home. So out the door she goes. She drives to the nursing home, gets things settled in after an hour or so, and walks out to the parking lot and witnesses someone smashing into her car. They call the police, do the report. 2 hours later, she's back on the road home. No sooner than she walks in the door when she gets home, nursing home calls back. She's having a reaction. Your mom is to the medication. Out the door she goes, back to the nursing home. After she goes home for the second time, on the way, she gets groceries. Gets home with those groceries, unpacks them, starts the evening meal, gets a call from her daughter. Mom, I forgot my soccer equipment. Mom goes out the door, brings the soccer equipment to the daughter, comes back home, finishes up the meal, does a couple things on that punch list. And guess who comes home? The husband comes home. And he says, hey, honey, I'm going to go back and pack up my stuff for the hunting trip. Goes back to his room, comes out, a little bit fired up. I thought you were going to do the laundry and wash all my hunting gear. Wife starts to talk. Husband cuts her off, looks at her list and says, what have you done all day? Doesn't look like you've done much. Maybe I could give you some tips in time management, honey. You know, so that might sound like a fictitious story, but I can tell you it's very much almost a mirror of some things that I've done with my relationship with my wife over the years. And I just am amazed at my foolishness when I do that. So are you quick to judge maybe sometimes, maybe quick to react, maybe quick to think like, what is wrong with this person? Or they should be doing it this way. Or why don't they make better choices? Next slide, please. The big idea is pretty much the Webster's Dictionary version of empathy. Make it your mission to understand and share the feelings of another. Make it your mission to understand and share the feelings of another. Next slide. Webster's Dictionary version is very, very close to that. I put in there the mission part, but there it is. The ability to understand and share the feelings of another. not only understand, but, you know, actually feel the pain, feel the emotion, feel the sorrow, even feeling the joy at times, and just being connected with them, you know, in the good times and the bad times. Sympathy, it's confusing sometimes. Sympathy is feeling sorry. It's like you're watching the news and there's a tornado in Kansas, and in between bites, you'll say to your spouse or your buddy or whoever you're sitting with, gee, I feel sorry for those people that lost their home in Kansas, you know. So it's sympathy. Feel sorry for them. But there's a big, big difference. Empathy refers to the ability to imagine those feelings, imagine the seat they're sitting in, the shoes they're walking in, imagine that situation, imagine that pain, imagine that sorrow, that idea, imagine their perspective, maybe their political opinion. Try to imagine it, try to understand it, try to be empathetic. That's empathy. Next slide. God's word tells us, Romans 12, 14 through 16, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. The next slide. Empathy in our world is fading. Empathy is almost gone today. We've got technology and amazing things and cell phones and social media and Facebook and Twitter and all these things that we have at our disposal, but there's just not much empathy in all of those sources. We have to meet people where they're at to connect with them. When they see you're sorrowful, they can feel it. I think of probably the best example that I've observed would be a funeral setting. If you're at that funeral, and I've had a good friend of mine ask me, like, I'm going to this funeral. Like, what do I say? And, you know, I'm not comfortable. I don't even know how to act. And before this message, and I just said, you know, you don't really have to say much. Just, you don't have to say anything. Just if you just hug that person and just hug them and hold them, and they'll feel that your sorrow with them. They'll feel that your empathy and the ability to try to understand a little bit where they're at that time. There's nothing wrong with nice words and trying to come up with something special to say, but just saying nothing and holding them is huge. I was growing up a young kid on vacation, and so different. I mean, I'm a fifth grade kid, and we'd pack up the brown van, and we'd drive to Chicago from Grand Forks. We'd drive to Chicago, and one big long day, and we'd spend the whole day getting there, and then we'd spend 2 days with my cousins, and we'd have like a cookout and some meals and like a fire pit, and we'd wrestle, and we'd just do all these things, and we felt each other. We would have laughs together. We would share sometimes sorrow together and just stories together, and we'd have empathy for one another. It was just, I remember those times, and they were so special. Now, that is fading. We're so disconnected now compared to where we were, and people feel so alone now, even though all these sources of connectivity still feel so alone. Today, the news, oh my goodness, around the world, it's just numbing. It's kind of like conditioned. We just get so conditioned to the news and the bad news so much. It used to be shocking when you'd hear bad news. It'd be just so, it would just jolt you. It almost just stop you in your tracks. Now it's commonplace. It's like the daily norm. Today you go on Facebook and you might say, put a post, it's going to be a beautiful day. And you get rocked with some toxic comeback because they didn't like your picture that you put up there about the beautiful day. It's just amazing what happens, that Facebook thing. If you're on it, great. I opened up my account and kind of got going on that thing, and I just dumped that thing. I said, I can't do this, honey. I can't do this Facebook thing. So many people are just airing their laundry and things. I can barely keep up with my emails. So I just don't do it anymore, but it's, bless your heart if you're doing it. That's wonderful. Technology today, it's just really so many times replacing our humanity. It's just replacing so much of the human spirit and the human touch. Our world is kind of becoming tribal. It's kind of we're in camps. It's either you're on my team or you're not on my team. We're kind of broken into divisions as far as camps and feeling more isolation. In the old days, oh my goodness, think of tougher times, but war. When war happened back in the war times, when it happened in the United States, the country would come together. Neighborhoods would come together. People would come together. There'd be empathy. They would love those soldiers out fighting for their country, and the whole country would be bonded together. Now we have so much isolation. If you think about it, the world today, we're just losing common ground so much. There used to be actual news. Walter Cronkite, I don't know if you know that name. Well, don't feel bad if you don't know Walter Cronkite, but he was an actual news anchor. He was a news person. He would give the news. And I remember it. We'd have supper, and my dad was like, and I was young, and I was like, wow, what am I watching the news for? And my dad just liked us to watch the news and see what was happening. So we'd eat supper and watch the news, and you'd see these things going on, and there was actual news. Today it's just so, empathy is fading. It's just the right has their news, the left has their news. It's just we're in camps so much today. We just lost feelings and caring for one another. We're losing, next slide, our connectivity. We're just, we don't have that connectivity anymore. Just such a loss of understanding that people just don't care as much or how you actually feel or more. It's like more, are you on my team or not? You're either on my team or you're not. And we just live in a world that essentially demonizes our differences. And this is not a doom and gloom message. I got a great silver lining here coming up, but it's just recognizing that how empathy is fading. I used to do presentations when my old business, and I would do these trainings, and one of the favorite things I would teach on was like trying to explain what we were doing with our business. I'd say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's not something I made up. It's a saying that's been around a long time, but they don't care how much you know until they actually know how much you care about what they got going on. And it's so, so true. In our homes today, oh my goodness, moms and dads, I hear some of these stories, and it's just tragic. Kids are forced to pick sides. Mom will say, hey, you don't listen to your dad, he's crazy. And the dad will say, hey, you listen to me, you don't listen to your mother. And just so much division, and just families today are split more than ever. So you think of it, people can be with you in life, but not even with you. They're with you, but they're not even with you, if that makes sense. They can see you, but they don't even see you. I've had people, I know that if I'm talking, they see me, but they're not even seeing me. They're not empathetic to what I'm sharing. They're just like, they're thinking about, oh, the twins are losing, or are they winning, or what are they doing? I just know that. I can feel that, and I'm sure you can feel that too. People can be there, but they're not there. People can be married, but still very much single. It's just like, they just don't know each other sometimes. There's no empathy for their own spouse. We don't recognize or even know our neighbors anymore. When is the last time you went to a neighbor for a cup of sugar? Or, it doesn't much happen anymore. That was the old days, and you got to know your neighbors. And I think of my own life, I can do so much better. If someone's mowing their yard a few doors down, and I should go over there and shuts the mower down and said, hey, I'm done. Nice to meet you, Chuck. And just say, hey, you know what? If you ever mow over crap cell or something, come and get mine. Or if you need a rake, come and get my rake. If you need to load something someday, Chuck, I'm your guy. I'll come and help you, load your truck. Or I want to be a good neighbor, Chuck. I just show some empathy. Doesn't happen like it used to. Next slide, Ezekiel 3. Bob read it, but I want to just touch again. Get the feel of what's happening here. The Israelites were, as God said to Ezekiel, they were a rebellious bunch. They were naughty. They were just a rebellious bunch of people in captivity. And God is giving Ezekiel instruction to go down there and lay down the hammer and to preach to these folks in captivity. Preach to the Israelite people. Verse 11, and go get to thee them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or not hear, or whether they will forbear. So the Spirit lifted me up, verse 14, and took me away. And I went in bitterness, in the heat of the Spirit, like in the heat of the Spirit. I am fired up now. They are going to get a tongue lashing from me. I just talked to Almighty God, and they're going to get the lesson. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Verse 15, then I came to the captivity of Tel Abib. I dwelt by the river of Shabar, and I sat where they sat. I sat where they sat. And look what happened after that. And then Ezekiel remained there, astonished, among them for 7 days. He just had empathy. He sat where they sat and lived how they lived and watched and felt their pain and just observed them for 7 days. So remember, Elijah, he was fired up. He was going to give them the business. But then he went down there and he sat. And he sat where they sat. Next slide. That's it. They sat where they sat. So that's what I want to impress upon you the next few moments here. You think about that. He had a mission. He went down to preach. That's what he was going to do. But then when he saw what was really going on and sat with them, he said, man, my paradigm's shifting here. I'm speechless. It looked so different. But before he got there, he was like, okay, rebellious people, God's giving me the go ahead to go, green light to go talk to him. But when he got there, he felt their pain. He sat with them. He then understood. He was astonished and understood. See, Ezekiel hung out with, before that trip, he hung out with priests and the high above. And then he got down to the captive's level. And then he actually understood at that level. He felt their pain. He had empathy. He sat where they sat. The Bible says, you're going to be humbled to sit where I sit. We don't understand each other today in many areas. Empathy is fading. Before you tell someone, I mean, maybe to pause, and this is messages for me, probably more than any one of you. I have a great deal of passion for this subject. So before I tell someone what to do, I should just try to understand them. I should come on down and sit where they sit and understand what their feelings. I was sharing with Bob and Lila, I bought this dehumidifier here. You all know what dehumidifiers, that's not too old school, is it? They take the moisture out of the air, you know? So I don't know, my staff at my office, they kind of freak me out because I say things and they don't even understand what I'm saying sometimes. I'll send out an email, I said, I'm gonna take a break and I'm gonna go have some vittles, you know? And they'll, what does that mean? What's food, you know? Vittles, you know? Anyways, so I get kind of, I gotta make sure we're on the same page. So dehumidifier. So I go there about 2 weeks ago, buy this dehumidifier. It's so much humidity in our office, so I was gonna get rid of that stuff. And I go down there, rush hour at 5 o'clock. I get there, I go through the traffic, wait in the lines, and I pick out the 70-pint dehumidifier, real nice one, $200. And I go home, back to the office, wait in line, rush hour back, go back to the office, and I take it out of the box, and I noticed first the top was a little scratched. I'm thinking, this is weird. That's kind of odd. It seems like scratches. So I'm looking at it closer, and I see the filter looks like it's just really dirty. I'm going, what is going on here? So then, next slide, please. So that's the nice picture. That's where the water tub thing sits. So I took the water tub thing out, and there's all this hair, and there's bacteria, and all this dirt and stuff in there. And I'm just going, this is not even happening right now. How is this even possible? Take it back to Menards. My bad. I was not going to say the store. I really, truly was not going to say the store. I'm sorry about that. Probably a good store. Shucks. Yeah. I did not mean that. I was, even when I told Bob and Lyle the story, I thought, I got to make sure. I'm going to share this on the message and just, I'm going to say the big retail store. Okay, I'll go back to the store. So I go back to the store, and I'm waiting in the line with kicking my box up there, and I get in the line, and Margie's got a name tag, Margie, on there, and she asked me what's up, or I said, how can I help you? And I said, telling her a story, and I said, hey, you know, can you help lift the box? Let's just lift the lid off, and I'll show you. And I tell her what's all going on, and she goes, do you want your money back, or do you want a new one? What do you want? No, just like matter of fact, like, what do you want? Do you want your money back? Do you want a new one? I said, I don't want to keep it. I I said, I wonder if something so extreme like this, I wonder if you guys ever do, I'm kind of a customer service guy, that's my business and what I do, and I wonder like maybe like a little $10 gift card or something because of the challenge I had with it. And she just goes like this. She goes, oh. And she gets a little walkie-talkie and she gets on a little walkie-talkie thing and Leanne, and that's the store manager. Linda Leanne, gets on with Leanne and it sounded like, you know those old cartoons like when Betty Rubble's talking to Wilma Flintstone, it's like, I could hear one, it sounded like this, like, I'm just like, so like, what is going on? Okay, so then she comes up and she just comes marching right up to the counter, and I got a big old smile, and I'm thinking, this is probably going to go pretty good, you know? And she goes, out of, you won't even believe it, it's stoic, she says, is there a problem, sir? I said, I don't know about problem, it's more like a, something different, you know? So I tell the whole thing, and she goes, we don't give any kind of gift cards and things, so what do you want to do? Do you want your money back, or do you want a new one? And you know, in the old days, I had such a terrible temper, and I used to say some just terrible, evil things when I was younger. So now I get just more quiet. I just get so dumbfounded and quiet. I just like, you know, Leanne, I'll just take my money back, I guess. Thank you. I just so freaked out by it. So the point of the whole story is no empathy. Zero. Not even an ounce. I didn't need that certificate I was just kind of asking about in this weird circumstance. All I wanted was to say, you know what, customer, I am so sorry. You know, we're just so sorry that, what a terrible thing. You open up a brand new box and you get this. I'm just really sorry. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to feel a little empathy. And it didn't happen. So people are lonely today. I mean, they don't get it. Some people don't get each other. We don't understand one another. Empathy is fading. You know, maybe you can't fix me, but just stop pointing your finger at me. Maybe people feel like that a lot. Like, just sit with me. Just sit with me and understand what I got going. Just sit where I sit. Like Ezekiel, I sat where they sat. People have so many friends today, it seems like, but they don't know each other. So many times, they can love each other, but they can physically touch one another, but they actually can't feel each other's pain. They can't feel their emotion. They can't feel their sorrow. Can't feel their grief. Anyone that's ever felt my pain, I can tell you what, I feel Jesus coming through them when they feel my pain. I can feel Jesus coming through them. They might not be saved, they might not, but I can just feel Jesus coming through me when I feel their, just feel that they understand me. No matter how strong the captivity and the storms are for all of us, Jesus will come to you. Jesus will find you. Every time, Jesus understands where you are. Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus will sit where you sit. I will come to you, all who are heavy and weary and heavy laden, the Bible tells us. So many days in my life, I can be busy. I can have crazy things going on. You probably have the same life. People can let you down. It happens. I let people down. I know I don't try, but I know I do it. I can be impatient. I can not be a good listener. No matter what kind of mess that I am that day, Jesus is always by my side. Jesus is always by your side. He's sitting where you sit. Jesus knows your every need. He knows that every single emotion for all of us, every single second of every day, I just need only to be still. Pastor Bob, a couple years ago, shared a verse with me, Exodus 14:14, and I claimed this verse. I had a family member that was going through some challenges at the time, and Bob said, just claim this verse. The Lord will fight for you. You only need be still. And I just claim that verse and wait on the Lord. We just only need to be still so many times just and wait on the Lord. Empathy, we can agree that I think anything can be done together. I feel if as a nation or as a small group or as a church, if we're in it together and we're feeling each other's pain and we're feeling each other's emotion and their passion, I think anything can be done together. Here at Submerge, I think we can have 50, 60, 70 people attending by the grace of God to our Wednesday night services. I believe in my heart that we can do that if we just have some of that empathy and just go out to some of the neighborhoods. And like Bob was sharing about when we do the pamphlet drops, and just because so many things that we can do, even in our own, on our own, but even as a group, as a church. I think you know, our nation, it's just the spirit of division. It's just, we're being torn apart. I mean, it's just amazing. It's sweeping through our schools and our government. Our Congress today, they act like spoiled brats. I mean, the spirit of division is so high. It's just, it's an amazing thing for me. And I try to remove myself from it. But politicians and people on the news and talking on TV, they can be bachelor's degree. They can have all this intelligence. They can have doctorate degrees, but they sound like a bunch of street thugs. It's just amazing to me because they don't have empathy. They don't just stop and just hear out what the other person or the other party might have to say. So much hate in our country. Next slide. I love this little slide from the Walnut Grove Baptist Church. Just love everyone, and I'll sort them out later. God. Empathy, you think about it. It used to be everybody loved children. I mean, I think it's a pretty fair statement to say everybody loved kids. Everybody loved children. Not the case anymore. Children are being destroyed. They're scared of people that they used to have confidence in. They don't trust adults. They don't trust people. You know, us as believers, God will lift us up. Everyone needs empathy. They might look tough and they might look hard-hearted. You might know people like that, but they need empathy. They need to be felt. They need to be touched by Almighty God. I don't know if some people sometimes might be tired of being tough, acting like it's all okay, but it's not in their life. They need Jesus, the Lord, to touch them. The devil wants us to touch all these buttons, and God really wants to touch people. I just think of that often and as I observe what's going on in our country. So last slide again, the big idea. Make it again your mission to understand and share the feelings of one another. You know, Jesus came to this earth, and it's not hard for us as believers to understand this, but he felt what we felt. He died on the cross for us. He felt our pain. He understands our groaning. He understands. He's empathetic. He's the King of Kings. So if nobody else understands, just remember that I know a guy from Galilee that understands and feels your pain and feels our pain and feels our neighbor's pain. Jesus understands. Jesus will listen to all of us, our groanings. Jesus came again to say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Communion, you think about communion. We break bread together. We do that. We have communion here at Submerge. We're connected. On those mornings, don't you feel just that connection? Don't you feel that as a body of believers? We break one bread in pieces. We're all breaking, eating from that bread in those little pieces, and we feel together. I feel that connectivity when we're together and we share it together. People really do care about the same things. We all want, you know, no drugs and good jobs and good health care. I really believe that, and you probably do too, but it's just fading. Empathy is just fading. When is the last time you think about in your life, you actually paused? I know I thought about this as I was preparing this message. When's the last time you paused? Whoever you're talking to, you might be talking to a baby boomer like my era. You might be talking to a Gen X. You might be talking to a Gen Y. You might be talking to a Gen Crazy. You might be talking to somebody. I don't know who, but we just don't do it anymore. We don't take the time to just really listen and be empathetic to some of these thoughts. Some of my staff that works in my office have some of the craziest thoughts I think I've ever heard, because they're just different generations of me, but I'm trying to get better at just going to lunch and just listening to them. Just listening to how they think, what's in their minds today, because I'm so old school, conservative, hardcore guys. I'm trying to get a better grasp, and I feel like it'll give me a better chance to share God's word to them and share the gospel if I just get a little better glimpse maybe of where they're coming from and some of their pain, some of their sorrow, some of the things that people like my age don't listen to them. They don't understand me. They don't care. But we actually do care, but just taking that time to listen. You know, the social media, all these platforms, I don't think people are jabbering away, but I don't think they're really listening to one another. They're just kind of trying to score points, it seems to me, on all these in this whole system. So now the big closing here, and this is this, just I feel like the silver lining, this the most optimistic, positive thing we can do is this. You take I've probably mentioned this before. If you take a beautiful lake setting and it's crystal clear, the lake is just not a wave, not a ripple. And you take just a little stone and you toss that thing out as far as you can toss it, and then it boom, lands in the middle. And what happens? It ripples. Where does it eventually end up, the ripple? All the way to the what? It comes all the way to the shore from 150 feet out there. It'll ripple effect. It's come all the way to the shore. And I believe Submerged Church, as a body of believers of Jesus Christ, and I believe the city of Fargo, and, you know, maybe we could be that little stone. You know, maybe we could just be that little that starts the ripple. And just if we just, it all starts with one. You know, it's that power of one. And it's like these old duplication things we used to talk about. You know, if you got a penny and you double it, you got 2 cents, and you got 4 cents, and then 8 cents, and 16, and 32 cents, and then 64 cents, and then $1.28, and you go all the way out. It's like, isn't it, Bob, like after like 31 days, you got like $1 million? 5 million. So that's doubling from a penny, and then 2 cents, and then it's just amazing. So I really believe the optimistic piece of this whole message that God has laid on my heart is to, I want to be more optimistic. When the bad news is all around and all these things are going on in our world and all this crazy talk on the news and all this stuff, I want to be a pebble. I just want to be just a little pebble, because it's a bunch of little pebbles. We need revival in our land. I mean, I could fire and brimstone now, but we need revival in our land. Politicians are not going to fix it. Jesus is the answer to all of our problems in our world today. But I think if we can just focus on being that little stone, that little pebble. So here's my challenge. The last 2 minutes, here's what I challenge you to do. Pick out just one person this whole week. More if you want, but just pick out one and put the big idea, put it right into action. And just to give you a couple of ideas of what I'm trying to share is, don't have excuses either. I'm telling you what, if you might say, you know, I'm not very empathetic. I'm a guy. It's kind of a girl thing. No, it's a human. It's a people thing. It's a people thing. If you have excuses and can't share empathy, I'm telling you, as nice as kindly as I can, it's a choice. You're just choosing not to have some empathy. So here's what I do: pick out at least one person. A couple examples. Just go to one person. Go to your husband or go to your boyfriend, and just tell your husband, honey, I got so much empathy for you. I am just so thankful when I'm snuggled in my warm blanket and you're out this time of year mowing the yard in the rain when it's, you know, 52 degrees. I'm just so thankful for you. I can really feel you're serving our home, just doing this stuff. And that's just one little example, just a little tiny pebble. Or you can go to your wife. You can say, hey, honey, help me understand. I've felt this so many times with my wife, but I'm so busy, I just won't even stop and listen. I just know that I need to be a better listener. You just say, I don't know how your day was. I just feel like you maybe just had a tough day. I want to be a better listener, honey. I want to be a better listener. I want to understand how your day was. Please, I'm just going to stop the presses and I'm just going to be present with you. I want to just hear from you, honey. I want to have empathy and understand you. Maybe your mom and dad. Maybe go back to them. Tell them after all these years, say, I get it now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being a little brat or being a rascal. I mean, I understand how hard you worked and all the sacrifices you made, and I made life tough for you, and I didn't listen to curfew and all these things. I just want you to know I have empathy for you, Mom and Dad, and I just really appreciate all the things you did when I was growing up. Your son, your daughter, maybe go to them. Just say, you know, I got no idea what it's like to be in school today, Billy or Tammy. It's a different time, but just, I want to understand. I feel like you're maybe, you know, having some tough times in school or maybe on the hockey team or whatever. I want to understand you better, honey. I want to empathize. I want to feel what you're going through these days. Your boss, maybe you could say to your boss, man, I just have so much empathy for you, boss. I'm thankful to have a good job here, and I just had no idea until I paused to think of all the sacrifice, all the time that you put into building this business. I just thank you for being a good boss. Your employee, maybe tell him I apologize for not listening to you well last week. I know I was probably like a brick wall, and I didn't understand what you were trying to tell me. And I want to feel and share some of the pain maybe you're trying to tell me here about this, your role here and your job and some of the role that you want to talk to me about. So that's it. Go seek out at least one person. Show them some empathy this week. And just together we can win. We can win. We can be that pebble out there, and we can spread those seeds of passion for people in our world and our neighborhood and here at Submerge. And I just believe by the grace of God, those seeds can ripple effect. And we can, by the grace of God, we can grow God's kingdom, and people can feel that love and that empathy from us as believers. Worship team, please come forward, and I'll close in prayer here. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the emotion of empathy. God, I think that thank you that we can do so much better, all of us. I know in my life, oh God, I can be so much more empathetic and be a better listener and just feel the sorrow and feel the pain of some of those people that are hurting, and just be a friend to them. And I pray that we would go forward and reach out and exercise this mission, the big idea this week, and just touch someone and be empathetic to them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.